Let's get into our time. I'm really, really excited. So in this last year, as I shared with you guys, we've gotten into relationship with many pastors in the region, in the area, going from San Antonio up to Austin. And Pastor Charles Patterson was here several months ago and has really kind of been spearheading that, and he just really poured a father's blessing into. Today, I feel like we're getting a brother's blessing. Like there's this like something powerful that Chuck Marr of Kingdom Life is bringing. And Kingdom Life is an amazing church in San Antonio. And they were actually on staff traveling with Steve Buckland for years over at Bethel. And he and his wife, Anna, and I don't want to steal your introduction, but they moved down here. We are so honored. And I told him the other day, I just had this visual and this dream that we know that there's a fire that God's doing in this place already. But I got the picture of Greek fire. Does anybody know what Greek fire is? So from history, the Greeks produced this type of chemical weapon, basically, and they lit it on fire. When they launched it over into a castle, anytime they tried to throw water onto it, the chemical reaction is like a grease fire. It spread the fire. You literally cannot douse Greek fire. And what I felt like the Lord is doing, he's bringing him in here, is that we're already on fire, but he's bringing something different with him that's the same but is different. And no matter what the enemy's going to try to douse in your life after what you receive from him, it's just going to spread. It's going to blow up in the enemy's face, and you're going to go to greater heights because of what Chuck is carrying, and we're so excited and honored too. So why don't y'all stand back up with me again, and let's honor Chuck Marr.
Glad to be here. Thanks, man. All right. Can we just thank the worship team? They do a great job. Let's just thank the Lord for them and honor them. It really is good to be here. I'm from Canada originally. Don't hold that against me. And now I am in the great nation of Texas. And yeah, you can thank Jesus for that. Thank you. From New Brunswick, Canada, on the East Coast, moved to Redding, California in 2008, spent six, almost 7 years there, did 3 years of Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. Before that, I was an associate pastor in Canada, probably a little bit older than I look. I won't tell you how old I am, but I was born in 1978, so I'll give you 1 minute, no. I was an associate pastor in Canada, and there's one of those feathers that maybe is from the ladies thing, or it's from heaven, one or the other. So associate pastor in Canada, moved to Redding, California in 2008 to go to Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. Now, you need to understand that I drove from the East Coast of Canada to Redding, California. It's about 3.5 days. I grew up in New Brunswick, about an hour and a half to the Canada-U.S. border. So picture driving through the border, and this is after 9/11, so therefore security is like over the top, especially at this particular border. And I get to that border, and they said, "Where are you going?" And I'm trying to give them as little information as possible, right? You know, just the bare minimum, because, you know, sometimes people get held up for a really long time. They can search your whole car for no reason, et cetera, et cetera. So they said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to school." They said, "What school are you going to?" "Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry." And they're like, "Is that like Harry Potter school? Is that Hogwarts?" And I'm like, "Nah, it's a little more like X-Men camp." You know, this is my friend Heath. He raises the dead. This is Joey. He opens blind eyes. No, not really, but I kind of wanted to say that. But I did 3 years of Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. Then I traveled full-time with one of the pastors at Bethel named Steve Backlin. And then my wife and I got married after I interned for him. She interned for him. We met at Bethel. And then we traveled for the first 2 years of our marriage. We traveled full-time, based in Reading, on our own, just exporting revival, what God's doing in Reading. Because how many of you know that what's happening in Reading, and that in Reading, California, and what's been happening there for really like 14 years now, has been a true, authentic, sustained revival move of God. And it's not just a church experiencing an outpouring of the Holy Spirit where, I mean, miracles are so normal that people get healed by mistake. I mean, there's one testimony of, you know, every Saturday we have healing rooms in Reading where, you know, they're praying for the sick from 8 a.m. until like early afternoon, people come up to 300 people on a Saturday to get prayer for healing in their bodies. Well, one particular day, somebody who was deaf in their ear came, and they're just walking down the hallway while the healing rooms are happening off in another room. They're just walking down the hallway, and just as they walked past the door to the healing rooms, their deaf ear popped open. Nobody prayed for them. It was just the atmosphere that's in the building. If you've been to Redding, California, you know that if you land there, you get off the airplane, you can feel the presence of God, not just in the church property, but in the city. First time I visited there, I went to Burger King for breakfast, and I saw a whole table full of police officers in uniform having a Bible study. You know, and you can feel the presence of God there. An entire city is starting to get transformed. I say that to say this: if God can do it in Redding, California, he can do it in New Braunfels. If God can do it in this small 100,000 people city that used to just be this truck stop in the middle of Northern California, God can do it in New Braunfels, in San Antonio, and San Marcos. And I'm telling you, I'm prophesying, declaring that what God is doing here is bigger than anything this region has ever seen. Yes. I really believe that. My wife and I traveled all over the world for 2 years, and we went to Europe, we went to Australia, went to New Zealand, Canada, the United States, and we get to get a feel for what God's doing, not just in churches, but in entire regions. And I'm telling you, we visited here as guest speakers in San Antonio several times over the past couple years. Now we moved here, we believe so much in what God's doing here, that God is, we can feel it, the atmosphere is pregnant, the region is pregnant with revival and awakening. And I am prophesying that what God is getting ready to do is bigger than anything we've ever seen. I think it's no coincidence that this is the day of Pentecost, where we honor and celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost that literally birthed not just a religion, but a move of heaven, a move of the Spirit of God that literally transformed cities. And so I'm just excited to be here. I'm just anticipating what God's going to do this morning. I'm going to try to be brief, and I'm going to pull the team up to prophesy. Is that okay? We promise not to prophesy over anybody that doesn't want it. I've yet to have somebody say, "Don't prophesy over me, please." I'm going to introduce the team in a minute. But I just want to say it's so great to be here. Since I met Jay and Kelly, it's like as soon as I met them, we were at this pastor's gathering, and they said, "Grab somebody that you don't know and prophesy over each other." So Jay and I were partnered up. We prophesied over each other, and I was like, "I like this guy." And can I just say that you guys have a gift from God in Pastor Jay and Kelly. Can we just thank Jesus for them and just thank you guys so much for what you're doing in this community? Isn't it great to have pastors that keep the main thing, and that's the presence of the Holy Spirit? You know, and so just honored to be friends with them. My wife and I, like I said, are associate pastors in San Antonio, Kingdom Life San Antonio, and we're just loving it. We've been there just over a year. I think I have a picture. I'll introduce my wife and our 3.5-month-old identical twin girls. So on the left is Autumn Hope, and it's a harvest of hope. And on the right is Charlotte Joy. And the Lord gave us that name, and she's in it. We call her Charlie Joy. And, you know, the Lord said, "You're going to have children, and one of them is going to be a harvest of hope, and one of them is going to be a joy and a delight." So that's Autumn Hope, Charlie Joy, my beautiful wife, Anna Mar right there. So that's my family, and I'll share a little bit more about that. And I love them, and I miss them already. Pray for me. I'm going to Canada on a ministry trip at the end of this month without them for 4 days, and I start to get emotional thinking about it because they're not going to be with me, so pray for me because I just love them so much. And just want to introduce some friends that are with me. Carlos, why don't you stand? This is Carlos, and Carlos is restaurant owner in San Antonio, founder, leader of a ministry that he's been a part of called Taking It to the Streets, Holy Ghost Fireball, and getting ready to go to First Year School Supernatural Ministry in Redding. So great to have Carlos with us. Let's welcome Carlos. And then I have Geraldine with me. You can stand, Geraldine. Geraldine is homeschool mom extraordinaire. Do we have any homeschool moms here? Slash prayer warrior, slash prophetic voice, healing anointing, and she's a rock star. So good to have them with us. Let's thank the Lord for Geraldine. And real quick, want to let you know about a few resources that I have here. My wife Anna wrote a book called Embracing Mystery, A 21-Day Journey to Hope. And this was this book was prophesied over us by someone named Sean Bowles. We were sitting in a house a year or two ago, 20 or 30 people. Some of you are familiar with Sean Bowles, extremely prophetic voice in the body of Christ. And he said, "Does October 27th mean anything to anyone?" And we said, "That's our anniversary." And then he began to prophesy over us. He began to read our mail. He began to tell us things that we were talking about earlier that week. And one of the things he said, "I see you writing a book. I see you writing curriculum. And God has anointed you both for writing." Now, how many of you know it's one thing to receive a prophetic word? It's another thing to steward the word and actually take steps of faith into the word. So my wife stewarded this word so well that she went home and wrote the entire outline the next day. And a year later, it was finished, published, and out, endorsed by Danny Silk, Benny Johnson. And it's amazing, actually. So that's available. They're $10. They're over there if you want to grab one later. Embracing Mystery. I've got a couple teachings available here. One my wife taught at her home church called Hope in Hard Times. How many of you know it's one thing to have hope when things are going really well? It's another thing to maintain hope when you're facing trials and difficulties. How many of you, is there anyone here that wants this? Hope in hard times. There you go. Bless you. What's your name?
Janet.
Bless you, Janet. And this is a message I taught in Winnipeg, Canada, called Living a Supernatural Lifestyle. It's keys for living a life that is naturally supernatural. How many of you, or who here is just burning to release miracles and encounters outside the church? Is there anybody out here? No, I'm just joking. Here, I'm just kidding, bro. Here, bless you. What's your name? What is it?
Colton.
All right, bless you, Colton. All right, bless you guys. All right, so let's do this. Go with me real quick to the book of Philippians. Chapter 4. You know, preachers say this a lot, but it actually happened to me. I had a message all prepared yesterday in my favorite chair at Starbucks. I woke up this morning and God said, it's a great message, but it's not what I want you to share this morning. And then the Lord began to speak to me about what I was supposed to share with you guys today, and I just started to get really excited and just felt anticipation for what God wants to do. So Philippians 4, starting in verse 4, and I'm going to read, first of all, from New King James, and it says this in Philippians 4, starting in verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Paul's like, in case you didn't get it the first time, I'm going to say it again, rejoice. "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." That means he is so close, you can reach out and touch him. The kingdom of God is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Don't you love that passage? Now listen to it in the message. I want to read it from the message. We don't have it on the screen, but just listen to this. Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the master is about to arrive. He could show up any minute. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. And before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. How many of you sometimes need a sense of God's wholeness to just come rest on you and start to settle you down? It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. I want to read one more passage from James chapter 1, starting in verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, one of the things that every single one of us is going to face at some point in our Christian walk, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a Christian, is the fact that although God is extremely good all the time, by the way, how many of you believe that God is better than we think he is? Amen. Jesus Christ is perfect theology. Yeah. One day Philip came to Jesus and he's like, Jesus, we've been with you a while, but you haven't shown us the Father yet. Will you show us the Father? And Jesus is like, Philip, have you been with me this long and you asked me to show you the Father? Jesus said, don't you realize that if you've seen me, you've seen him? Jesus Christ is perfect theology. You want to know what God's like? True expression of the Father? Look at Jesus. He healed every person who came to him. He never blessed a storm. He always stopped storms if he was going to interact with the storm at all. He, you know, was constantly destroying the works of the devil. He ruined every funeral he went to, including his own, right? Jesus is perfect theology, and he is extremely good all the time, and God's better than we think he is. But one of the things every single one of us is going to face at some point is, although God is extremely good all the time, bad things, difficult things, sometimes things that I don't understand, still happen around me or sometimes happen to me. And every single one of us is going to face that reality at some point where we're going to say, what am I going to do with the fact that I believe God's good, but right now this is in front of me? Every single one of us will face that at some point in our life. My wife and I got married in October 2012, and both in our 30s. And shortly after we got married, we started trying to have kids. We started trying to get pregnant. All my wife ever wanted, the dream of her heart, was to be a mom. And shortly after we started to get pregnant, we started to realize that we were facing some infertility. And we tried for a while before, probably close to a year before we actually went to check it out, and we realized that we were facing a measure of infertility. And it was actually on my part. And I remember going to the specialist. We went to the specialist, and I remember being told, yeah, you probably, it's going to be really, really difficult for you guys to get pregnant. This is what's going on. You can consider adoption. You can consider this option. But they really didn't offer us very much hope at all. And I remember getting that news and coming home and literally sitting down in my living room with my wife and just weeping, sitting on the couch and weeping. Is it okay if I get a little real this morning? And I just began to weep because of the pain, because of that challenge. All my wife ever wanted was to have kids. I wanted to have kids. And then we were told this. And first thing that we did was we went to our friend's house, Joaquin and Renee Evans. We sat in their living room, shared the news that we just got. We're just real and raw. They prayed over us. But I can say this, that in the midst of this, getting this news and facing this difficulty, I felt a peace that passed understanding. And despite the pain and the disappointment, I could feel this peace that God is still extremely good. He's still a God of miracles. And I'm still going to believe he's good no matter what. And we had to make that decision. We had everybody and their dog pray for us. Everybody with an anointing and even some that didn't have one. We're like, pray for us, we'll take it. Bill Johnson prayed for us. Jason Valentin, Chris Gore, Joaquin. We had so many people pray for us, but we still weren't getting a miracle. Nor were specialists offering us any hope. And it was in that moment that we had to decide, are we still going to believe that he's good, even when our circumstances are trying to tell us something different? And it's really one of the things that we all have to face at some point. Jesus actually said, in this world you'll have many troubles, many tribulations. It's like, thanks for the encouragement, Jesus. And that word tribulation is the Greek word phlipsis. It literally means a pressing against, a difficulty, a challenge. It's the same word used to describe the crushing of olives in order to make olive oil. How many of you know that if you'll respond to your difficulty correctly, God will actually use the very thing that you walked through to bring a greater anointing in your life and to bring breakthrough to those around you. So, I don't believe that God causes these things, but I believe he will use everything because he's a good steward and he doesn't waste anything. And I want to encourage you this morning, don't waste your trial. But actually use it against the enemy and use it as a footstool to climb into your next level of anointing and breakthrough to destroy the works of hell. So we started to face this difficulty, and one of the things that we decided is I refuse to be offended with God, and I refuse to change my theology to fit my experience. See, too often we had tried to adjust our theology around our experience when we need to allow our theology, God is good, to adjust our experience. Does that make sense? So we started to face this, and we started to realize we can't hold God hostage to answering our prayer in one particular way. Does that make sense? In Matthew, you don't have to turn there for time's sake, but in Matthew, we read about the story of John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11. Remember, John the Baptist is the guy who, Jesus' cousin, he preached, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus said that, you know, John the Baptist was like, you know, the greatest in the kingdom of God in his day, and he's this mighty prophet preparing the way for the Lord. Well, somewhere along the line, things get a little adjusted for John the Baptist, and next thing he knows, we know in chapter 11, is John the Baptist is in prison for confronting Herod. He's in prison, probably getting ready to lose his head, and he's smack dab in the middle of a faith crisis. John the Baptist, prophet, preparing the way for the Lord, is in prison, getting ready to lose his head. And it says that he sends his disciples to Jesus to say, Jesus, John sent us to ask you, are you actually the one, or should we wait for another? What was Jesus' response? Because basically, John the Baptist is like, Jesus is out there raising the dead, healing the sick, open blind eyes, all these miracles are taking place, and I'm in prison, it doesn't look like I'm getting out. Go ask Jesus if he's actually the one or if I should wait for a different one. Disciples come, say, Jesus, John must sin, are you the one or should we wait for another? What was Jesus' response? He said, go tell John this, the blind see, the deaf hear, the poor are having their gospel preached to them, the dead are being raised. And then he said this, blessed is he who does not stumble on account of me. In other words, blessed is the person who still believes that I'm good and I am who I said I am, even when things don't happen quite the way they thought they were going to happen. So here my wife and I are contending for a miracle. We're not getting breakthrough the way that we're hoping to get it, an instantaneous miracle. But you know what did happen? We moved to San Antonio and we realized that we were literally 15 minutes away from the best fertility clinic in the state. We go there, and on our first appointment, we walk into the office. Not only do we feel hope in the atmosphere, but the nurses are wearing t-shirts that say hope written across. And then we start having conversation and consultations, and the conversation was if you get pregnant. The conversation was when you guys get pregnant, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we felt such a difference. We felt such an atmosphere of hope. And within 3 weeks, we were pregnant, and not just pregnant, but pregnant with identical twin girls who are alive, healthy, happy, and blessing our home. Can we thank Jesus for that? See, the scripture that we read said that God wants to give us peace that passes understanding. Well, how many of you know that if you want peace that passes understanding, you need to give up your right to understand everything that happens along the way? That in the midst of your challenge, sometimes we need to give up our right and say, you know what, I don't know why this is happening, but I believe that he's good and I believe that he's God of the breakthrough. And we maintain that posture of believing that he's good and knowing that he wants to bring breakthrough. And here's the deal. We need to understand that not only is God good, but Jay alluded to this, I think, when he's transitioning worship. One of the things that helps us to walk through a trial or a difficulty is understanding I am actually seated with Christ in heavenly places. I don't care what situation you're facing, whether it's financial, relational, your health, whatever it is. It says in Ephesians, I think it's Ephesians 2 or Ephesians 3. It's Ephesians 2, verse 6. It says that you and I are seated with Christ in heavenly places. What does that mean? It means you are just as much in the heavens right now, seated with Christ, as you are walking on earth right now. And what that does is it starts to give us the perspective of heaven over our circumstances. I have a friend in Austin, a pastor friend in Austin, you know, he asks people how they're doing, and they're like, "Oh, I'm doing okay under the circumstances." He's like, "Well, what are you doing under there?" What are you doing under your circumstances? You are called to be above your circumstances. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And see, it's knowing that they were seated in heavenly places that allowed Paul and Silas in Acts 17. Remember Paul and Silas in Acts 17? They're thrown in prison for working miracles and preaching the gospel. And they're thrown in prison. And not only thrown in prison, but they're thrown into a nasty prison. We're talking a prison that has, you know, some historians believe that the prisons were actually, you know, the sewage system turned into prisons where they were chained up. So it's quite possibly that there was raw sewage flowing under them at certain times. I'm sorry to be kind of graphic, but it is what it is. Here they are chained up in prison, Paul and Silas. What does it say? It says, and at about midnight, Paul and Silas began praying and singing hymns to God. Now, can you imagine? They're chained up in prison. They're probably hungry. Good chance they were beaten, cold. It's midnight. They're chained up in prison. Paul's like, "Silas, isn't God amazing? Despite our difficulty, isn't Jesus just incredible?" Why? They were seated with Christ in heavenly places. They were above. Here's the deal. When we start to get a revelation of just how good he is, and we start to become more and more and more aware of his presence, we start to get to the place that no matter what comes against us, it has nothing on us because we are seated with him, and the reality of his goodness trumps anything that we can face. So they're chained up. Paul's like, "Silas, let's just begin to worship Jesus." They just begin to praise God. They begin to pray. They begin to worship. And what happened? It says that the chains and the prison doors begin to shake. And then the chains fell off of them. They were set free and they were released from prison. Now, I'd like to propose to you that Paul wasn't in prison. See, they didn't know this was going to happen. The Bible hadn't been written yet. Paul and Silas are chained up. And it's very unlikely that this is what didn't happen. Paul didn't go, "Hey, Silas, do you know what I think might get us out of here? Let's just begin to sing Jesus, his favorite song. If we start to sing Jesus, his favorite song, I bet our chains will begin to shake, the prison will begin to shake, and we might get set free." No, their worship wasn't some strategy. It was a simple response to who he is. And when we can worship God despite our circumstances, I believe that's when the Holy Spirit breaks in. And here's what happens. Praise and worship isn't some strategy to get to the next level. Praise and worship is a response that shifts our perspective. And when we shift our perspective, our circumstances start to shift too. So they just start to worship God, and as they're worshiping, the prison begins to shake. What happens? The prison guard sees that they're set free. It says he drew his sword and was getting ready to kill himself because he knew that if he was caught responsible for letting them go, he'd be killed anyway. Draws his sword. He's ready to kill himself. Paul's like, "Don't do it." And he leads him to Jesus and his entire family to Jesus. Why? Because all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Here's the deal. I am utterly 100% convinced that when the enemy puts his hand on you, when he brings a trial, when he brings an attack, when the devil puts his hand on you, I believe he's taking a massive risk. I believe he's a gambler. I believe he's taking a risk. Why? Because if you respond correctly, maintaining your belief that God is good, worshiping no matter what's happening around you, God will actually use your circumstance to backfire on the enemy, launch you into the next level, and it makes the devil break out in a rash. I'm convinced that when the enemy touches a child of God, he's taking a risk, because God will use that very thing against the devil to destroy his works and actually advance the kingdom of God on earth. Does that mean God caused us to have infertility? No. But when we responded correctly, he said, I love that your heart, it's still painful, it's still difficult, but thank you for still believing I'm good. And just because the devil touched you, I'm going to cause it to backfire, and I'm actually going to give you two babies and give you a double portion. And God spoke a promise in our heart from Isaiah 61:7 that says, instead of shame, I will give them a double portion. And I'm here to declare prophetically that no matter what the enemy's bringing against you, God is going to release divine justice and release 10 or 100-fold return and destroy the works of the devil and actually use it to promote you. He's that good of a father. Can we thank Jesus for that? God doesn't cause everything, but he will use everything because he's a really good steward. I saw a person who knew that she was seated with Christ in heavenly places. When month after month, you know, we would find out another month went by, we didn't get pregnant. This is when we were still in California. Another month went by, we're not pregnant. And I would watch my wife come to church on a Sunday morning, because whenever we were in town and we weren't traveling, she would just want to, you know, we would just want to go and just soak in God's presence and just worship him. And I would watch her Sunday after Sunday come into the sanctuary. Maybe just found out the night before, a couple nights before, another month went by and we're not pregnant. And I would watch her as tears came down her cheeks during worship and her arms went up and she just began to tell Jesus how good he was. Despite the pain, despite the disappointment, God, I still believe you're good. You're still God of the breakthrough and I worship you. And if we want peace that passes understanding, we need to give up our right to understand. I saw another little girl who knows she's seated in Christ with in heavenly places when at 4 years old, she was a four-year-old named Phoebe who lived in Tyler, Texas, friends of Anna's family. And Phoebe was diagnosed with cancer. And, you know, she was diagnosed with cancer when she was about two. She went into remission. At four, it started to come back. She was on chemo because they actually told her, the authorities said, if you don't give her chemo, we're actually going to take her from you. They were forced into this. The family was walking through a really difficult time. She was on chemo. She was swollen in her cheeks, but so full of joy because she knew Jesus. I remember going over to the house to pray for them, and she would make me to pray for her, and she made me sit in her bedroom with her while she served me tea, and we had a little tea party, and she was just so full of the joy of the Lord. And the veil was so thin between heaven and earth for her that she'd be in the kitchen looking into the living room laughing. And her mom would say, Phoebe, what are you laughing at? She said, I'm laughing at the woman or at the little girl in the living room who's roaring like a lion as she was having just angelic encounters and having these experiences with heaven. Well, one day, Phoebe, on the way from or to an appointment, was in the car with her mom, and she was in the back seat, and her mom was driving, and her mom was just feeling all kinds of pain and trial, and her mom's just crying in the front seat and trying to hide it from her four-year-old daughter that she's crying. But her mom, you know, kids are smart. Her and Phoebe's in the back seat, just full of joy. Knew that her mom was crying. She said, Mom. She said, yeah, Phoebe, trying to hide her tears. She said, Mom, God's not a meanie. She said, yeah, you're right, Phoebe. She's choking back tears. You're right, Phoebe. He's not a meanie. She said, no, Mom, say it. Amen. She said, say it. Say, God's not a meanie and I'm not afraid. Out of a four-year-old. And her mom said, God's not a meanie and I'm not afraid. She made her mom make a prophetic declaration. Phoebe since went to be with the Lord, but she went to be with the Lord knowing that she's seated with Christ in heavenly places, knowing that God's not a meanie, knowing that she's not afraid. And I think there's something about posturing our hearts and maintain that place of knowing that he's good. It might not work out the way that I believe it's going to work out, but I believe it's going to work out, and God is still the God of the breakthrough. I'll tell one more story. And my friend Jeff in Oregon, was pastoring a church, and his wife was diagnosed with cancer, and she went into remission. It came back, and he was in an appointment, and I called him up just to see how he was doing. I'm like, dude, how are you doing? And he was like, he sounded more happy and joyful than I was on that particular day. He's like, I'm doing awesome. God's just speaking to us. He's like, I hate cancer. It's the devil. It's a demon. I believe God wants to destroy it, but we're maintaining hope and believing for a miracle. And Jeff began to share with me that when the cancer came back, they're in the waiting room, and he was just pacing in the waiting room. He was just pacing, and he was just battling, and he was angry, and he heard the Lord speak to him. He said, Jeff, I want you to choose joy. And he said, what? It caught him off guard. He said, I want you to choose joy. And he stepped back from him, and he's like, okay, God, I'm going to choose joy. And then the Lord said, see that lady over there sitting in the waiting room? He said, yeah. He said, I want you to go tell her that I love her artwork. And he said, okay. So he goes over. He says, excuse me, ma'am. My name's Jeff. I'm a Christian. Jesus speaks to me. Do you want to hear what he has to say to you? She said, sure. He said, Jesus wants you to know that he loves your artwork. And she just begins to weep. And she said, my grandfather is an incredible artist, and I always wanted to be an artist, but something told me that I wasn't good enough. And whenever I do art, I feel like it's not good enough. And then Jesus met her right there in the waiting room and said, I want you to tell her, told Jeff, I want you to tell her I love her artwork. She has a full-blown encounter with Jesus right there in the waiting room. And then the Lord said to Jeff, he said, I want you to look up the meaning of her name. I think it was Rena. And so Jeff looks it up, and he feels like he's supposed to look up the meaning of her name in the Hebrew, however that works. And he looks it up, and guess what it meant? It means song of joy. And he began to share all this with her. She's having an encounter with the Lord. She gets sozoed. And then Jeff is just flying. And next thing you know, he's prophesying over people in the hospital. How many of you know that when you believe God's good, it causes you to act in the opposite spirit of what you're walking through and actually release the power of God and the kingdom of God that displaces the power of darkness? When we know that we're seated with him in heavenly places, when we believe that he's good. I know we're running out of time, and I'm going to ask the team to come up in a minute, but I want to read one more scripture, and it's from Psalm 84. And if I can have the guitar player come up, that would be great. We're going through a little time of ministry, but it says this in Psalm 84, starting in verse 5. Just listen to this for a minute. Psalm 84, verse 5. Don't worry about putting up. It says this. It says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Listen to this. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Then it says, as they pass through the valley of Baca. Now that word Baca literally means tears. Some translations actually say the valley of weeping. It says as they pass through the valley of weeping or the valley of tears, they make it a place of springs. Now, notice that it says as they pass through it. You might be going through a difficult time, but how many of you know you're not supposed to camp there? You're supposed to pass through it. That's why David said in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why doesn't he fear no evil? Because your rod and your staff, they comfort me, but also because he knows he's going through the valley. You might be facing a difficult situation, but I'm here to declare and prophesy, you're not to set up camp there, you're passing through it, and you're going to look behind at it. And then it says, though they pass through the valley of Baca, tears, difficulty, they make it a place of springs. Did you know that no matter what trial it is that you're facing, God is giving you everything that you need to turn the situation around and actually transform your valley into a place of springs, into your place of greatest victory, breakthrough, and outpouring of the Holy Spirit that you've ever experienced. And I'm going to ask everybody to stand right now. And I feel like this morning, I told the team on the way here, I said, I feel like there's a grace for breakthrough and to see impossible situations bow their knee to the name of Jesus. So if you're here and you're facing a situation where you need a miracle. It might be physical healing. It might be a financial breakthrough. It might be a relational difficulty where you need God to intervene. You need a miracle. You need breakthrough. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand where you are. On any of those things, you need breakthrough. I want you to keep your hand up. The rest of you, I want you to look around. I want you to find somebody with their hand up, and I want you to put a hand on them. And you don't even need to ask what it is. The rest of you, just look around. I don't know if you normally do this, but I'm just going to commission the rest of you as ministry team. Just put your hand on somebody that has their hand up. If anybody has their hand up, nobody's touching you yet, wave until somebody's touching you. Wave until somebody's touching you. Okay, everybody's there. This is what I want you to do. Those with your hand on somebody, I just want you to declare breakthrough over them right now. Just out loud, say, Father, I release the spirit of breakthrough. Just declare out loud, impossibilities, bow your knee at the name of Jesus. Impossibilities, bow your knee at the name of Jesus. We release breakthrough all over this room right now. Come, Holy Spirit, breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. Migraine headaches are just coming off of somebody right now. I rebuke migraines in the name of Jesus. I feel like God's touching somebody that maybe has a tumor. I feel like it's a man. Any man with any type of tumor, I just declare breakthrough in your body right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody's lower back is being healed. If you have pain in your lower back, I just release healing over you. Just begin to move around right now and just receive that healing in your back right now in Jesus' name. Who is that? Wave at me. You came in with pain in your lower back. All right, I release healing over you right now in Jesus' name. Start to move around. Somebody with arthritis in the hands, God's touching you right now. I just release healing fire into your hands right now in the name of Jesus. Just start to move your hands and just experience that healing. Somebody's left shoulder, God is touching you. Who is that? You came in with pain in your left shoulder. Just wave at me if that's you. I want to see who I'm praying for. Oh, Carlos and young lady back here, fire of God in your shoulder right now. Ha, 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 ha. Fire of God in your shoulder right now. Yeah, lady that raised your hand, move your shoulder around a little bit and just experience that healing. Healing fire right now in the name of Jesus. In Carlos' shoulder, I release healing fire right now in Jesus' name. I say diabetes go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we just thank Jesus for what he's doing? Time for one prophetic word each. Team, come on up. If we can have a microphone for them, you can go ahead and grab a seat. And if you want to just keep playing, you can. Just get the team, just release a few personal prophetic words, maybe something that they sense for the church. But before they do, how many of you, when you got prayer for healing or you had an impossible situation, you know you experienced some type of breakthrough in your body when you tested it, it felt better? Just wave. Wave if that's you. Right here, right here, right back here. Anyone else? Right here. Come on, let's thank Jesus for that, just for that breakthrough. We would love to hear the testimonies of what God did as well. But team, why don't you go for it?
The first word I have is for the daughter over here in the back row in the white dress between your two friends. Can you tell me your name? Maury? Lori, okay. Lori, what the Father said about you is that you carry a seer anointing. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's like a form of the prophetic where you see visions and dreams and images. It would have been planted in you at the time that he knit you together in your mother's womb. And what he wanted me to release over you is perfect love that casts out all fear. So as you're operating in that and it's coming forth full in your life, that there would be no fear with walking in that gift in the supernatural. So I'm just going to release that, Father. I just release perfect love over Lori. I thank you that her destiny is being brought forth full, and I thank you for that seer anointing. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for stewarding it with her and teaching her in it and letting it be stirred up and come forth full. I thank you for mentors to be released to come alongside her. And I just bless her with the perfect love of the Father in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. Check it right on. I'm sorry, what's your name back there? You're wearing a white blouse, the black shirt underneath? very back row, woman, yes. I'm sorry? May? All right.
Can you stand as well?
Yeah, can you please stand, please? I just feel right now that, you know, the Lord's just given me for you that, that says in the Bible that the kindness of God leads to repentance so we can have a closer relationship with Him. Mm. And I just feel the kindness, the spirit of kindness all through you. And if the kindness that God gives us leads to repentance, well, then it's through your kindness that people are going to come to Jesus. Mm. I'm feeling it through your workplace. I'm feeling it through some brokenness in your family right now. And I just declare that God continue to use you through your kindness so people can see that reflection of Jesus and bring people to the cross in your family, in your workplace. And I just bless you with that today. That you just continue just to stay hungry, stay humble, and just receive His kindness.
Amen. 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 I have a word for the gentleman right beside her, actually. Yeah, could you stand? You're playing bass, weren't you? Yeah, what's your name?
Stan.
Stan, when I looked at you during worship, I felt like the Lord was saying that you're a peacemaker. You're a peacemaker. And we just got a testimony from a lady, young lady in our church who was flying home from visiting her family, flying back to San Antonio. And as she was sitting beside this gentleman, he looked at her and he said, "I don't know what it is about you, but I normally have to drink alcohol when I get on an airplane in order to relax, in order to sleep. I don't know what it is about you, but I haven't had to touch alcohol, and I just slept really, really well. There's something, there's just some type of peace that you carry. And I feel like you have that anointing. You're a peacemaker. When you walk into a room, you carry peace. I feel like when you walk into a room that could be filled with chaos and disorder and anxiety, you carry an atmosphere of peace with you. So I want to encourage you to be more aware of that and just know that you release peace everywhere you go. And the Lord's even going to use you to restore broken relationships. So I just want to bless you with that in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
We have time for another. Okay, the second word that I have, I feel like it's a corporate word that the Lord was highlighting to me, which was the spirit of sonship. And he started speaking to me about it on the way here. And then when we were worshiping, there was words in the songs that kept highlighting to me about the spirit of sonship. But he said there's a dual meaning to it. In the supernatural, it's the spirit of adoption, that you've been adopted into the heart of the Father, that He's your daddy, He's your Abba. He loves you. He delights Himself in you. And just releasing your coming into alignment with that identity, the fullness of your identity as a son and daughter of God.
Amen.
In the supernatural, that's what He was releasing. But in the natural, He said, I felt like He said, there's someone contending for adoption. Like it's in your heart to adopt in the natural, and that you're seeking adoption, and that there's been some barriers. But those barriers are just being broken down, and the process of adoption is going to be accelerated.
Come on.
And this adoption that's happening is a picture of His love for y'all. What you're going to have in the natural, whoever this is for, it may be more for more than one person. That love relationship that you're pouring out in the natural for the one that you're receiving in your home, that's a picture of His love poured out for us, His
Come
sons
on.
And daughters.
If that's you, if you're comfortable doing this, can you just stand? You've been contending for adoption. And yeah, come on.
Can I bless you?
Gerilyn, why don't you just release acceleration and favor over them?
I just release acceleration, Father. I ask right now, Father, that connections would be made, that all of the paperwork would fly through. Father, that the children that you have for them would be released to them in an accelerated way, that their hearts, their lives, their home, their finances, everything would be taken care of, prepared to receive. Father, we just bless them with that you've released on them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, my second one is probably a more of a corporate one as well. Pastor, it's for your children's ministry, for the children involved in the church, specifically for the gentleman who you told me was the youth coordinator, youth pastor, who's playing keys. Man, that guy's just on fire. He has a fire of the Holy Spirit. And parents, please, you know, tell him thank you, because your kids are growing up today knowing who Jesus is. And because they know who Jesus is, they'll narrow their identity that they won't get at school or wherever else they hang out. So please just bless that man. Give him your prayers. Give him your thanks. He's on fire right now, and your children are in a great place. And I just want to bless this church with that word. And that, man, the youth here are going to be the new generation, the new culture revival for the rest of San Antonio, New Braunfels region to see. I pray that in your lives, and I bless you with that in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, there's a major healing movement about to come through the children. So we just declare that in Jesus' name. Yeah. Thank you, Father. I have a word for a blonde lady toward the back. Yep, you. Yep. And is this your husband? Yeah, why don't you two stand? What's your name? Sorry?
Renell.
And Philip. Awesome. I just felt like the Lord was saying that you guys are coming into a new season. And I'm hearing the scripture from Song of Solomon 2 that says, the winter is over and the spring has come. And the sound of doves is heard in the land. And for you particularly, Renell, I feel like the Lord's saying that your winter season's over. You're coming to a springtime season. That the past is behind you. And you're stepping into a new season. And it's really, really good. And I feel like as a prophetic act, you guys are supposed to just come out into the aisle. And just take a couple steps forward. So we just declare new seasons over you. And I feel like the Lord's saying that you can completely trust the timing of the Lord. You're not behind schedule. You're not ahead of him, but you're right on track for the plans and the purposes that he has for you. And I just declare the favor of God over you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Chuck, I'm going to add to that because I had gotten a word for your son and daughter. For your son that he, Elijah, right? That he's gifted in the prophetic. And for Annabelle, that she's gifted with beauty. And that she's actually going to bring the kingdom of God into the beauty industry.
Amen. That's a good word.
If I can just piggyback on what Pastor said about this gentleman who just graduated, I really just feel the consistency about what the world doesn't see, how they can see Christ in you, and I bless you with that walking forward as you go into a new college experience. Where you go, you'll be the fruit of Jesus that people need to see, the voice that needs to be heard. And I just bless you with your consistency and that you will not be shaken today or in years to come.
One more. Amen.
The other one that I had was for the graduate. Would you mind coming up? Can you tell me your name again? Kat. When they were talking about you carrying the mother anointing, that's the same thing that I carry, a mother anointing. And I actually received a prophetic word last week at our church about that anointing that I carry, that I go around like loving and nurturing and mothering everybody in the church. But I felt like that the Father wanted me to impart to you everything that I carry. And so I just wanted to do that. Is that okay? Will you just put your hands out? Here, just Father, Jesus. This intimacy and this mother anointing that I carry, I just release it to her. I impart her with it. I impart that love with abandon, that she just loves with abandon, like your heart, Father, like you love with abandon, that she would love and manifest your love everywhere she goes. Father, I just release that on her, and I thank you for her. And I thank you, Father, especially that you nurture her, that she receives that love from you in the secret place that she gives out. So I just thank you, Father, that you're guarding and pouring into and nurturing that love that you have for your daughter. As she delights in you, you delight in her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Can we just thank the Lord just for what he did this morning and what he's continuing to do. So, bless you guys. Thank you so much. I'm going to hand it back over to Pastor Jay, and let's just thank the Lord one more time. Thank you, Father.
So, if you have still prayer need of any kind, our altar ministry team will be up here, and they want to partner with you, stand between you and heaven, and just release what God has. Otherwise, I want to pray just a prayer of blessing and go and grab your kiddos. Chuck, thank you.
Totally.
Dude, we ready to receive it. So just stand right here real quick. If y'all extend out a hand of blessing.
Father, we just honor Chuck right now in the name of Jesus. He said if we receive a prophet in the name of the prophet, we receive a reward. But Father, I pray, Lord, as he's just released something into the atmosphere, Lord, of this place, Lord, that he would receive the hundredfold blessing, Lord, that he would receive the reward of what you're pouring into this place, Lord God. And we just declare, Lord, over kingdom life, Lord God, Lord, just a blessing, Lord God, that there's that spirit of kinship, Lord God, between our families, Lord, that while there might be some distance, Lord God, we are the same. We're united in Christ with what you're doing in this region, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you would just give him more, Lord God. I pray for more impartation, Lord, of your spirit, of your power, of your love, of your mercy, Lord, of your grace, of your gifting, Lord God. And that, Lord God, this, as he goes on these travels, we just declare over him traveling mercies that the angelic is flying with him, Lord God. And that, Lord, even as he's away from Anna and the girls, Lord God, that peace that he just preached about, Lord God, would also guard his heart and his mind, guard the heart and mind of Anna, Lord, and his little girls, that, Lord, that no matter where they're at on the planet, that you've bound their hearts together with you. And so, Lord, that would just be such a supernatural peace that he could then put his focus, Lord, on the outpouring,
thank you,
Lord, that you're going to do through him. And we just declare this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks.
So give Jesus praise one more time. A blessing in the name of Jesus. Be fruitful, multiply, go have fun, enjoy lunch. All right. Love you guys. If you have prayer need for anything, come on up.
Thanks, bro.
And don't forget, Papa Jack's here next week, Friday. Bring somebody with you.